Air Ministries at 4501 Jackson Street Extension, Suite C, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71303. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1 as we go deeper in the Word of God.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. And the title of our message is the song, Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. For the word says, for he have made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in the presence of God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Knew no sin. My brothers and sisters, as we again think about Christmas in this time of sharing, we realize God gave this world the greatest gift it will ever know in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave us Jesus because it was only Jesus who was capable of redeeming man, of reconciling man and God back together again. It was only through the atoning blood of Jesus Christ could man once again be in right standing with the Heavenly Father and know him in the way God desired his creation to know its creator. And so when you begin to look at this and understand this, this word is filled with God in motion, using Jesus Christ, filling in all of the areas whereby we needed a person to go between us and God. And every place you see, Jesus shows up. The 17th verse says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or creation. He tells us that old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And then verse 18 tells us all things are of God. Now, what does it mean, all things are of God? Here it's talking about, in the text and context, the fact that everything that happened toward the shaking of sin and the eruption of the relationship that sin and Satan had, that God was breaking up so he could destroy that fallow ground, that unholy ground, to make it worthy so that it can be cultivated, so that he could enter back into the hearts of men, you'll discover that God was at the center and citadel of that situation. And so God orchestrated everything there was that had to do with man's redemption. God the Father made the plan and instituted every person and every part of that plan that will be played by all who had a part. And all of those things were of God. Now, what's interesting about that is God himself, as you very well know, made man in his own image and in his own likeness, and he breathed the breath of life into man, and he became a living soul. He became like God, God's chiefest creation. You know the story. God told them, don't eat of the tree in the midst of the garden, because if they would surely die. That tree of good and knowledge. And Satan one day came by, and Eve was looking at the tree, and she was tempted by, beguiled by the serpent to eat off the tree. And when she ate, she found out that she did not die. And she offered it to Adam, and Adam took a bite, knowing God said, don't eat from the tree. And the moment he took the bite off the fruit, they began to die in spirit. And then eventually in the flesh. And from that time, even before that time, God had a rescue plan to redeem man, to buy back man, to be able to reconcile man back to him. And his son Jesus Christ, before the foundation of the world, was made a part of that plan. Now the word says, in the fullness of time, when it was the right time, when it was God's time, he sent Jesus on earth, who again came in the form of human flesh, took on the likeness of man, and he was like men, but he alone did not sin. Because he didn't sin, that gave him all that was necessary to be what God needed to be the Savior of mankind. Amen. He was in the human form, but did not sin in the human body. And so God used him, listen, to save mankind. There are three things I want you to see about Jesus in this verse. First thing I need you to know was that in God's sight, Jesus was precious. Precious. What does precious mean? It means of great, great, exceeding value. Jesus Christ was the most precious thing that God had in heaven or on earth. And Jesus was the one who was the only begotten of the Father, the highest, the next in line to the Father, the only one who could pay for the sins of all mankind. And God used Jesus, the most precious resource that heaven had to offer. Most times when we try to save something, we never initially give our best. We give what we think will work. We give what we think is acceptable. We give what we think will meet the mark. But God gave his absolute best, his most precious son. And Jesus Christ was the only one in heaven, in earth, or in hell who could do what God needed him to do to reconcile man back to himself. We talk about Calvary and the Calvary experience. We talk about Christmas and the birth experience. But all of this was set in place by God so that God himself could bring man back into the right relationship. And Jesus to men became what God needed him to become, and that was our ransom, our savior, our redeemer, and our deliverer, all in this one precious package. The second thing about Jesus in this verse reveals that not only is he precious, but he's perfect. Perfect. Jesus, the perfect Son of God. He is the express image of God, likeness of God, none closer to God, perfect in every way, every dimension, every demeanor, every likeness. He is perfect. Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He and the Father were one. He was perfect. And God sent not someone who was imperfect, but God sent the best that he had. And everything, my brothers and sisters, that we celebrate for communion, everything that we celebrate for Christmas says to us that God gave us the best gift possible. The best gift possible. Nothing shorter than his most precious and most perfect gift, his only begotten Son. But third thing that the verse actually reveals to us is the fact that Jesus was pure. Because in order to redeem mankind, it had to be the blood of a lamb without spot or wrinkle, without blemish. Jesus was pure. In every sense of the word, pure. You see, it's through his purity that he takes care of all of our sins. The cleansing agent in his blood is due to his purity. He makes clean what's not clean by his pure blood. There are no chemical solutions that can equal those things that make up the precious blood of Jesus Christ. How in its effect that it which is red can be placed on something that is black that turns it white as snow. It is that miraculous reality of the cleansing power of the pure blood of Jesus Christ that God needed to be able to wash the sins of man away, that he might allow man to come back into his presence, to be able to stand before God, to be able to be what God desired him to be able to feel his purpose for which he was created. It all came through the precious, pure blood of Jesus. He who knew no sin. The word knew here simply means that he had no participation nor operation in sin in thought or deed. He knew no sin. He knew of sin, but he didn't know sin. In other words, he never committed a sin, so therefore Satan could not hold anything against him as he had with all mankind. First of all, we were born in sin. Second of all, David says, we were shapen in iniquity. Thirdly, we sin by volition. We had a desire to sin and sinned willingly, but not Jesus. And Jesus became the best thing that ever happened to mankind because of his blood and the sacrifice that he made on Calvary. Well, how can I make this any clearer? As this story, the sinner had accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, but he had done every damnable thing he could do in his life. And when he thought there was no hope for him, he heard the gospel preached that God had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. He heard the preacher preach that God was not imputing their trespasses against them. In other words, God was not charging those who confess their sins and become reconciled with him against them. When they had sinned and asked for forgiveness and repented for it, God did not write that as a record against them. He forgave them and cleansed them because of the blood of Jesus. But he didn't understand it fully. One night he dreamt he died, and he showed up in heaven. And that was the judge sitting behind his sacred desk. That was Satan, the prosecuting attorney, Jesus, the defense attorney, the Holy Ghost, the bailiff. And Satan on that day got up and said, "Your Honor, I believe this man should be turned into hell because of all of the things that he has done." And when he went on to give the list of things that he had done and thought that his case was ironclad, Jesus stood up and said, "Your Honor, I object." He said, I object only because Satan has read off some things on his list that I don't have on my list. And I believe that he's charging my client with some things that I've not been privy to as his counsel. He said, "May we approach the bench?" And so the judge said, "Come." And so Satan jumped on up, and Jesus got up and stepped in front of him and said, "Satan, get thee behind me." And Jesus produced two lists, one with the man's name on it and the other one with Jesus's name on it. And Satan, after he had seen the two lists Jesus produced, he said, "Your Honor," he said, "don't forget about my list." And God took his list and looked at all of the sins that the man had committed. He flipped the list over and went up and down that list, and he said, "Satan, your list is duly noted." And he gave Satan back his list, and he said, "Jesus, let me see your list." When Jesus gave him the list with the man's name on it, God looked at the list from top to bottom. He flipped the list over and he looked at it again from bottom to top. He said, "Jesus, there's something wrong with this list." He said, Your Honor, what's the problem? He said, I can't read this list. He said, Why can't you read it, Your Honor? He said, Because your blood. Is all over it and makes it impossible for me to read his sins. Jesus says, so that's why I got this other list, which has my name on it. And every list, every sin that this man committed is on my list. I didn't charge it to his account. I charged it to my account. And I'm paying for it with my blood. Therefore, I suggest we dismiss this case because I paid it all. Somebody shout glory. That's why I love him, because he first loved me and paid for my every sin. Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. The doors of the church are open. Whoever you are, my brother, my sister, make no mistake about it. Jesus loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. The Father made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. That's why, just as you are, you can come to him. He knows who you are. He knows what you are. He knows where you've been. He knows what you've done. But if you'll just accept him, receive him, become reconciled to God, he'll take every sin and wash it away, making you the righteousness of God in him. In other words, God won't see you. He'll see the Jesus in you. That's what God wants to see, as Jesus is our Savior. God bless you. Come on. Come on. Jesus. Something about that name. It's the sweetest.
It is the sweetest name. Mm. I know.
Is there another who will come today?
Oh, how I love the name Jesus.
I can't speak for you.
Oh, how I love,
but I know
the
that you are not perfect. And he knows you're not perfect. But you can experience his perfection in you by saying, Lord, come into my heart. I receive you as my Savior. He's waiting on you. Waiting on you. He can turn your life around if you'll give him the opportunity. He can wash away every sin that does so easily beset you if you'll come to him today. This is our last appeal. Our last appeal. Think about it. Think about it. Think about it. Well, give the Lord a hand of praise if you will.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina, Alexandria.
Of the Acts of the Apostles, we read the following, beginning with the third verse of the ninth chapter of the book of Acts. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shone around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and said, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what would thou have me do? A bigot, Reverend Hudson, meets Jesus. Bigot. Now, before we attempt to interpret this text in a sense of relativity, that is related to our own lives and our own experiences, let's see what a bigot is. If we don't get that straightened out, then you won't know what kind of person I'm talking about. I said, a bigot meets Jesus. A bigot is a person who has no respect, no sympathy, no concern about any religion or any creed or any person or any race except his religion, his creed, his color, and his race. He's intolerant to anything else but that which he approves. Now, we hear a great deal about bigotry among whites. This is true. Many of them are. bigots.